This is Crime Binge.
Okay. All right. So we should just start now.
You didn't do that face, but those are the hand motions.
I'm so upset.
I'm so sorry. My body just took over.
Oh, the guy's coming back.
Is he?
How did you... How did you know that he was coming back?
I saw you look. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, guys. So, here's the lowdown. We live in Florida, and it's fucking July. And...
Wait, let me see how fucking hot it is outside right now.
It's 85 degrees right now.
Okay.
It's the same. You can open that fucking window. It is 85 degrees outside currently, and it's now like 8 o'clock at night, so it has cooled down some.
I looked at the thermostat, and it is also 85 degrees inside. Yeah.
So,
he's back.
Yeah. We came home, and the air conditioning had blown. So
completely.
Now just, it doesn't work. And now it's 85 degrees, and they're trying to fix it.
And we're a little sweaty.
Yep.
And a little drunk.
We're still recording because we care.
Yeah.
This is how much we care. But would you like me to go first? Would you like to go first?
Sure. What are you binging?
I am binging.
Morgan's drunk, by the way. She's just making a lot of faces, and they're good.
I am binging Barry.
Excuse me?
Barry. It's on HBO.
Okay.
It's Bill Hader.
Okay.
In, like, a serious role. It's still, like, a comedy, but it's mostly serious.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the greatest fucking show ever. Like, I love it. We watched the first two seasons, and it is fucking fantastic.
That's
it's great.
Awesome.
You should watch it. 10 out of 10. It's weird humor, but it's very funny. But it's also like he's a hitman.
Yeah.
It's okay. Great. I think Corey would like it too.
Okay. And see, like, Corey and I don't really watch too much TV just because, well, we do, but just because we have been watching The Blacklist, and they're hour-long episodes,
yeah,
and like there's 5 seasons, and it's just taken us a while.
Yeah.
But now we literally yesterday or the day before finally put our TV from our bedroom to the living room, since we just moved in and we finally got another TV for the bedroom, and I feel like I'm able to watch so much more TV because I didn't want to come home from work and just go lay in bed and watch TV.
Yeah.
Like, but I would like to sit on the couch and watch TV, or like watch TV while I make dinner.
Yeah.
And so I feel like now I can watch a lot more TV. And I know I've watched like 90% of the episodes before, but starting on Saturday, I binged like 15 episodes of NCIS in like a very short sitting. Like, I was waiting for my boyfriend to come home, and I started at like, I would say like 11:30, and I didn't stop until 6 a.m. Like, I binged a lot of NCIS, and it's just good because it's like, it's another one of those crime shows, but I just love all the characters in it. Like, Abby's really funny, Donoso's really predictable, Gibbs is hilarious, like, Ducky's really good. I love them all. So,
yeah.
That's what I'm binging this week.
I used to, like, watch that show with my parents growing up, and, like, did you ever do that thing where you wanted to ask, you probably didn't, so probably not. You ever wanted to, like, ask your parents if you could do something, but you didn't know if they would say yes? So you'd sit on the end of their bed watch whatever TV show they were watching?
100%. You just, like, stand. Or my parents didn't watch TV in their room.
Yeah.
But I would just literally just, like, stand next to my dad while watching TV and he's sitting on the couch.
Yeah. Just for, like, an awkward amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but I gotta be here long enough So I ended up watching a lot of NCIS that way. That's my story. But this week.
This week's special. It's our 10th episode. Welcome to number 10.
Wow, look at us go.
We are tweens.
I don't think you're still just a kid, right?
Oh, well, aren't you like a tween?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like 10 to like 12 is tween, oh, and then 13 and up is
that
teen.
That makes sense. I was like, only 11 and 12 year olds are tweens.
I mean, whatever. Once you're double digits, then you're
once
double digits.
Once you can stop counting how old you are on your hands.
I'm so sorry.
It's
friend.
Okay.
I paused it when I left the room. I'm so sorry.
I literally just said, Morgan is talking to the AC man about stuff she has no idea about, but she has to relay to her boyfriend.
Oh, I immediately already don't know what he said to me.
Yeah. And then I was like, and then he told us to lock the door behind him on his way out, and he's such a kind man. And then you walked in, you're like, he's a weird guy. And I was like, yeah, he's a weird guy.
Well, like, he is very nice, mm-hmm. but he was just so awkward because, like, we're in here recording, which is weird probably because he can mm-hmm. definitely hear us. And he's like, excuse me.
Yeah.
Hello, I have to leave. Yes. Because, like, he needs my confirmation, and he's trying not to be awkward, but it was awkward. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was pretty funny. But, yeah, we have a window AC right now.
Yeah, just in one bedroom and not the bedroom we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Welcome to Crime Binge.
Are we just now starting?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was fucking with you. Anyways, so Jesus. This week we're doing, for episode 10, we're doing our hometown murder.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, this episode's going to be different because we actually, like, we were alive while this was happening.
Yeah.
And
I would say,
it's
like,
more serious to us.
Yeah. This is definitely, I know for me, probably the same for you. This is our hometown crime. And it was, like, the first time that I was ever, like, oh, people can be bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because as a kid, you still see the world as just, like, this really bright and happy place.
Yeah, definitely.
And, like, how old were we, 9? I was 8.
I was 9, you were 8.
Yeah. And it doesn't super matter. But this was, like...
She was 11.
This was the crime that I would say, like, made me get really, like, interested in true crime. You know what I mean? Because, like, at the end of the day, your interest in true crime is also, like, your interest in trying to find out how to not get murdered.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, literally, I was at work the other day taking a lap because mm-hmm. I am, like, the little old ladies at the mall who's, like, take laps to keep their heart rate up between work. And this person, like, was suddenly walking right behind me very closely. And I, like, fully just, like, looked over my shoulder and, like, stared into their fucking face.
Wow.
Because it, like, scared the shit out of me. And I, like, started speed walking, and I'm just, like, in this open office park where, like, likely would not happen at noon.
Yeah,
in the
they'd
middle
have
of
to drag you
week.
Out of the
yeah.
office area,
like, without me making a noise.
Yeah.
But I was just, like, instantly afraid.
Yeah.
Because there was someone right up on me.
Well,
and I would say that started at this time.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
And I mean, like, she went to the middle school that we both went to.
Yeah.
She was there before we were, but, and then also she grew up in my neighborhood, and she was part of, like, us neighborhood kids. There was, like, four or five of us girls that would all hang out. And so I did get the opportunity to meet her and hang out with her
yeah.
a couple times, and so it was very close to me.
Yeah, Sarah was, like, very, very close to it. This happened in February, and I moved back in May, so, like, I knew that it happened, and, like, I saw it on the news because it was so prevalent, and I kind of... It happened, like, the summer going into fifth grade, and I was a child and, mm-hmm. like, soon kind of forgot. And then we went to the same middle school, and did you ever do, like, agriculture class?
I I only did for a little bit, but I know that, like, they, as well as my elementary school, both had, like, a garden for her.
Yeah, so they had, like, a butterfly garden, mm-hmm. and I was in agriculture, and your job in agriculture was, like, to tend that garden.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I remember doing that and feeling very uncomfortable knowing, like, the plaque was of, like, a girl.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, so close to my age.
Yes.
Like, it felt uncomfortable because it is.
Yeah,
it was super,
it is.
It's not great.
And so for episode 10, Our Hometown Murder, we are doing the murder of Carly Brucia.
Wow, I just realized we hadn't said who it was yet. And she's actually, like, it was a national case.
It was.
But not a lot of people know it as much because I think, then the Casey Anthony case kind of became the biggest Florida case.
Yes, definitely.
Before that, I would say it was Carly Brucia, who, as we said, was like an 11-year-old girl who grew up in our town and like in Sarah's neighborhood, who was abducted. And this occurred on Super Bowl Sunday of February 1st, 2004. And Carly Jane Brucia, who was in sixth grade at the time because she was 11, was on her way home from a sleepover at her friend's house. She called home at 6 p.m. and told her parents that she was on her way home. And this was a walk that she'd done several times before.
Yes, like
this was common for her.
She walked everywhere. Like,
we all did.
Exactly. And like, I remember like when she would have to go home. She lived about a mile away, and so we would walk her about halfway and then walk home because we also lived on very busy streets. Like, nothing was going to happen.
Yeah. And so this was, like, a common trip that she took, so her parents weren't necessarily worried about her. And the trip typically only took about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on how fast she's walking, you know?
Yeah.
When she hadn't shown up by 6:30, because that's her typical time to be home, her stepfather, Steve Kanzler, went to go look for her. Is that how you pronounce it?
I don't think so.
Okay. And this was so out of the ordinary that she had been missing for roughly 10 minutes before her mother called 911. This is, like, known after the fact. They didn't know this at the time, but when they tracked how her evening went, they found out it was like basically 10 minutes after her daughter was abducted. I'm so sorry. Law enforcement canvassed the area in between Carly's house and her friend's house until 3 a.m. and again the next morning when a bloodhound picked up Carly's scent and tracked it to an area behind a car wash where the scent was then lost. This was when the police asked to see the surveillance camera footage from the car wash. And just for a brief moment of levity, is that what the word is?
I don't know what you're trying to say, though.
Like, to add a little light to the moment.
Okay.
I just want you guys to know that Sarah spelled the word surveillance wrong, but it makes me laugh because I had to type this word about 10 times, and every single time I spelt it fucking differently and spelt it wrong. And I'm glad that you also spelt it wrong.
Why is it spelled with the E and not an A?
Look at how many letters are in the word surveillance, Sarah. There are so many letters. I just wanted to add that because it made me smile to see that after the 10 times of me trying, you also had a difficult time.
Yeah, and we're both really bad at spelling.
Says the girl who wants to be an English teacher.
You'll get there. It's fine.
So going back to Carly, she had decided to cut through a car wash that was like a typical place that kids cut through in this residential area. And it's called Evie's Car Wash. And it's about a half mile away from her home. At this car wash, was approached by a man and led away, never to be seen again. And this is when the case gets kind of the national attention, because her abduction was caught on the car wash's surveillance cameras. and the camera motion sensor went off at 6:21 p.m. when it picked Carly walking. So she was like, she was on her way home. Like, you know what I mean? She was in that time frame be home.
She was so fucking close. Yeah. Like, literally, like picturing it now, the distance from the car wash to her home, it would have been a 10-minute walk.
Yeah. So it's not great.
Yeah.
The camera at the car wash showed a man in a uniform-type shirt approaching Carly, saying something to her, and then grabbing her by the arm and leading her away. Something about this is that it doesn't look like there's a really big struggle, like, at all, which kind of indicates to some investigators that she knew him, because you can easily watch the video if that's something you feel comfortable doing. She looks at him with recognition but confusion. Yeah. So it's just probably like, one of those age-old things where, like, oh, my parents, your parents told me to pick you up.
Yeah.
Like, one of those things where when you're a kid, you're like, this is an adult, I have to say yes.
Yeah. There's no fuck politeness as a child.
Yeah. NASA assisted the investigation by enhancing the image on the surveillance camera, which made the face clear and showed that there were, like, tattoos on the arms, which mm-hmm. made him a lot more identifiable. And dozens of investigators worked on the case while volunteers scoured her neighborhood and put up missing poster signs. And city officials put up a $50,000 reward, saying the surveillance footage made the abduction more personal, and the mayor called Carly Sarasota's child. Carly's mom, Susan Shorpin,
mm-hmm.
did a press briefing during the time of her abduction and said, "I want to address my Carly. I love you. I have this phone on at all times. I'm begging and pleading. Please help me bring my daughter home." And her father said, "Carly, if you can hear this, your mom's at home waiting for you." So a lot of people, like, really had the hope that she was still alive. Oh, yeah. And sorry, what were we gonna say?
Nothing.
Oh.
I was just agreeing.
Yeah. And at this point, when was the Amber Alert issued?
The Amber Alert was issued the next morning.
The next morning? Yes. Okay. For some reason I thought there was, like, a weird delay in the Amber Alert. And then, sadly, on February 6th, it was announced that her body had been found. She had been murdered and left in the parking lot of Central Church of Christ, which is on Proctor. And I didn't realize, like, I guess mm-hmm. I never, because I'm terrible with directions, never realized where that was. And that's, like, right next to my church.
Yep.
And I never knew that. The church I, like, went to growing up. And it was just miles away from her home and 3 miles away from the abduction site. So it wasn't very far at all.
So we're going to talk about a little bit about the person who abducted her and led to her murder.
Yeah.
His name is Joseph P. Smith. Joseph, the P stands for Peter.
Yeah.
But when they do serial killers, or I mean murders, they put the middle initial in because there's a million Joseph Smiths.
Well, isn't the Golden State Killer Joseph Smith? Isn't it Joseph D'Angelo Smith?
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So this is Joseph Peter Smith.
Yeah.
And he was a 37-year-old car mechanic and a father of three who had been arrested 13 times in Florida since 1993. And he had previously been charged with kidnapping and false imprisonment. I just want to say, for the record, if you have been arrested 13 times and something for as serious as kidnapping and false imprisonment, why are you out of jail?
Yeah.
Like, since 1993, that is, from the time this happened, that was 11 years.
Yeah.
Like, arrested 13 times in 11 years and you're out of jail.
Yeah. Because it was all on, like, I think most of his charges were on drug charges.
Yeah, I know. And, it just anchors me.
Well, I know. But he also was, like, a white dude who was doing drugs. Like,
exactly.
That's like, why he wasn't in jail.
He was in jail for, you know, 6 months at a time. But when the police figured out who he was, he was already in jail being held for breaking his parole on unrelated charges.
Yeah.
And he had been staying with a couple named Jeff and Naomi Pincus. And they told the police, when the police came to talk to them, that Smith had borrowed their yellow Buick station wagon on Sunday afternoon before the Super Bowl. And he said that he would be back in 15 minutes, but he didn't show up until Monday morning, 16 hours later.
Yeah.
They also checked the mileage in his car, and he had driven 382 miles in those 16 hours, which, like, so after this happened, he must have just been freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, surprised just, like, he didn't fucking kill someone or himself or anything.
Yeah.
But when he returned home, they said he was, like, in a really good mood. He was really chipper. And he visited his wife and his three daughters.
Yeah, which they were, like, estranged at the time. Mm-hmm. They didn't really see each other that often. And when he got back from his little trip, he, like, seemed like he had a great night and was, like, in a great mood.
Yeah.
And according to the couple he lived with.
Also, he had three young daughters and he fucking did this.
Yeah.
But anyways, there were at least three known people who called in and identified the man in the video as Joseph Smith. One was a former business partner, one was a former employee of his, and one was his roommate. They identified his tattoos, the way his hair was cut, and the specific way that he walked because he had a back injury, so he walked kind of weird.
Yeah.
And while he was in prison, his brother John Smith, so it's going to be a little hard between Joe and John. Yeah,
this part really fucks me up.
And mother Patricia Davis came to the jail to try and get him to confess to this crime. And he eventually did come clean, saying that he really fucked up and explained that he had a far out. I want to just do, like, finger quotes.
Yeah.
But no one can see.
Visual. Yeah.
And he had a really far out cocaine trip and didn't remember much of what happened. He admitted that he had rough sex with a child and that he may have killed her. He told them that he could direct them to the body, but that they couldn't go to the authorities because he wanted to use it as a bargaining chip. So he knew he fucking killed him, because there's multiple times where he's like,
yeah,
I don't know if I killed her or not. He knows he fucking killed her.
Yeah, and he, like, he wants to use it to try and get a plea deal by holding out where the body is. So he knows what he did.
And so he tells them where the body is, and the mother and brother follow his directions, go to that church and try and find it, but they couldn't find her body. And so eventually the brother John calls the FBI and basically gave his brother up, like, told them everything that he said. And on the night of the call, I lost my place. Okay, so at the night of the call, they returned to the church with a Sarasota detective named Toby Davis and FBI agents David Street and Leo Martinez. John was on the phone with his brother Joe and had him lead them to the body. He said he remembered placing the body between two trees, and around midnight, they finally came up to her body. His mother was crying so loud when they found the body that Joseph could hear her on the phone, and he said to tell his mom he was sorry.
Yeah, like, she just, like, lost it because she was like, my son did this.
Yeah, rightfully so. So Carly was found laying on her back. She was naked from the waist down, except for a sock on her right foot. And her right leg was stretched out, and her left leg was bent backwards underneath her left buttock. There was also a deep ligature mark seen on her neck.
Yeah.
The examination of the body after it was found indicated that he was merciless with the child.
That's, like, what the person writing the report said.
Mm-hmm. She had been raped vaginally and orally, and then she was strangled. the ligature mark was consistent with the pattern of a shoelace. And, like, I didn't want to put it in because I thought it was too much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add that I read that, like, the person who did the autopsy said that, like, it was a shoelace and the shoelace wasn't tied, that it was crossed and pulled. And so he had to just pull this shoelace very tight and that it would have taken in between 2 and 4 minutes to kill
her. Yeah, they said it took several minutes.
So, like, him saying, I don't know if I killed her, was a fucking lie.
Yeah.
And her body was then dragged over different scarring surfaces to her resting place. She had cuts and bruises that indicated that she had fought back.
Which makes me, like...
like, good for her. She tried.
Yeah, she, like, didn't give it up. Makes me, like, always feel so sad, but also, like, so, like, proud that they, like, were trying to fight back.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people who don't fight back are worse.
Yeah. I mean, I also read that they, like, saw marks on her, like, arms where she had possibly been bonded. But they did find semen belonging to Joseph P. Smith on Carly's clothing and 2 of Carly's hairs, as well as 4 fibers from the red shirt she was wearing in the vehicle, or were found in the vehicle that Smith had borrowed. So, there is DNA evidence.
Yeah.
And this is just a little bit of kind of my personal account.
Yeah.
I remember that the few days between her disappearance and her discovery were frantic around the neighborhood. And the morning that the news announced that her body had been found, I literally just stood inches away from the TV, just my eyes glued to the TV as a 9-year-old. And watched the report and just fucking cried. And I don't remember if I went to school that day because it was a school morning. But it was just, like, everyone was kind of in disbelief. Like, it was, like, everyone was searching for her and everyone had the hope that she was still alive. And it didn't happen.
Everyone really thought they were going to find her.
Yes.
So, the trial. During the trial, the jury saw the videotape of Carly being led away, the evidence of Smith's DNA on her clothing, and the testimony of Joseph's brother, John, telling them that he confessed to the murder and where to find the body. He also identified his brother in the car wash tape in front of the jury, so there wasn't, like, a lot of getting around that.
Mm-hmm.
So before the trial, Smith had the opportunity to talk to his mother and brother, like, pretty frequently, it seemed.
Yeah, a couple times.
And these conversations were recorded and shown to the jury. And these are just some of the conversations that happened. The first one occurs on February 9th, 2004. And his mother says, "Oh, Joe, the best thing that you can do is try and explain it was an accident." "But it was an accident, Mom." "I know that, Joe." "Smith, you don't think I would do that on purpose, Mom?" "No, no, I don't. I don't think so at all. Blah, blah, blah." "Jesus." "No, I don't. I don't think so at all, Joe. Not at all. I know you better than that, but everyone is up in arms. The community, the press, the governor, the mayor. You just don't know, Joe." Smith: "Yeah, Mom, you know what my charges are, right?" "Yeah, I do. You want me to tell your estranged wife anything?" They blocked out her name. Sorry, yeah. I shouldn't. "Yeah, Mom, tell her that. Does she know what happened? The drugs and everything?" "Yeah, she knows." Smith: "That I didn't mean to do it. She knows that I'm not an animal, right?"
So the next one happened the next day, and it was in between Smith and his brother, John. So John asks, "You had to have had met the girl before, the young girl." Smith says, "No." John goes, "Because she knew you." So his brother could tell that she mm-hmm. knew him. He said, "No, John." John goes, "Not to mention the fact that she didn't look nowhere near 11 years old. I was thinking 16 or 17. And Smith goes, "That's what I thought, too." So John was, like, trying to coerce him to saying, like, "Yeah, I just thought she was older. We tried to, I tried to get it on. She wasn't having it, but."
Yeah. There, like, there was a lot of that. There was at some point, Joseph was trying to get John to, like, give him up to the police to get the reward mm-hmm. and things like that. And then this is another conversation between the brothers. John, how much time did you spend with her? I was so far out there, you know? Did it happen right there and then you drove there? It wasn't very long. An hour, 2 hours? Did you go back afterwards to look again? What made you pick that place? And Smith just stayed quiet. He didn't answer.
So, again, this is from the same night on the 19th, but this is a different part of the conversation with Joseph Smith and John.
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize they were from the same conversation.
Oh, no, you're good. I put them in different bullets because it was, like, different parts of the conversation. Because there was something in the middle that didn't make much sense, so I skipped it.
Yeah.
So, Joseph Smith says this. Tell Mom this, okay? Because the priest came. I talked to him for a while about, you know, how I was brought up. And then I did an act of contrition, which means he wipes all my sins away. You know, we did confession. I confessed to everything. Murder, all types of stuff. You know what I mean? Anything that you know, I just confess to everything.
In addition to these conversations on April 9th, 2005, a letter from Smith to John, from Joseph to John, yeah, written in code, was intercepted by jail personnel. Because they had, like, their own little secret language that, like, a lot of, like, siblings have growing up. And they used it when they were talking about the body as well.
Mm-hmm.
And during the trial, a cryptanalysis testified that the code had been broken. And the message contained was the following. I wish I had something juicy to say. Oh, okay, the backpack and clothes went in 4 different dumpsters. I left it out in the open. I dragged the body to where it was found. Destroy this after deciphering it and shut up.
Yeah, and so I remember, like, hearing that her belongings were found in different dumpsters.
Yeah. So, a different letter was confiscated later that Smith had written to another inmate asking for harm to come to his brother if the inmate was able to. So,
yeah. He was like, fuck, my brother testified against me.
Yeah.
Can we kill him?
During the prosecutor's closing statement, he asked the jury, how do we know this man killed Carly? He told us. And my favorite part of the entire thing,
mm-hmm,
Smith's defense attorney then shocked the jury by waiving the right to a closing statement, saying, Your Honor, opposing counsel, members of the jury, we waive closing argument.
And just sat the fuck down.
Yeah.
Even his lawyer was just like, that's it, we're done. Yeah, there's nothing, like, else I can say.
We can't, like, not find you guilty.
Mm-hmm.
On October 24th, 2005, the Sarasota jury took less than 6 hours to find Joseph P. Smith guilty of first-degree murder, sexual battery, and the kidnapping of Carly Brucia. In December of that year, he was sentenced to death in a 10-2 vote. And remember that because it's very important.
Yes.
During a hearing in February 2006, Smith cried while apologizing for Carly's murder, saying that he had tried to kill himself by overdosing on heroin and cocaine after he had did it. He also begged the judge to spare his life for the sake of his daughters. And on March 15th, 2006, Circuit Court Judge Andrew Owens first sentenced Smith life in prison without the possibility of parole. He then goes on to say, Carly endured unspeakable trauma, which began at the time of her kidnapping. The image of the defendant taking her arm and leading her away, no doubt, will forever be etched in our minds. During the sexual and physical abuse Carly was subjected to at 11 years of age, there is no doubt she was aware of her dire predicament and that she had little or no hope of survival. Her death was conscienceless and pitiless, calculated and premeditated. He then went on to sentence Smith to death by lethal injection.
Fucking good. Anyways, as you can tell, I hate this man, and you'll learn why I have so much anger towards him nowadays.
Yeah.
But next, we're gonna take a little trip to talk about Carly's mother, Susan.
Which, we're not trying to slander her. we're just talking about, like, this was talked about a lot during the trial.
Yes.
Was the mother.
And so, Susan Shorpin, she was painted in a very bad light throughout the whole trial. And there were rumors that she knew Joseph during their drug hangouts, but she denied all these claims.
And I,
as I,
personally believe this to be true. Like I said before, Carly went with the man somewhat willingly in what it seems like in the videos. And, like, people have said this forever. And it is, like, it's very hard to tell, I think, that if you didn't know the person at all, that you would go like that.
Yes.
And, like, a lot of people, even her family, were like, that's weird. Even the guy's brother was like, that's weird. She knew him.
Yes. Like, everyone was like, they have to have known each other. And but Susan had been involved with the police before, including a drug arrest in 1995 when Carly was 3, and a domestic violence charge in 1999. And months before Carly went missing, Susan was reported missing by her husband, and when she finally returned, she said that she had had a relapse.
Yeah.
So she always had drug problems.
Yeah, she had drug problems for pretty much her entire life.
Yes.
And so did Joseph P. Smith.
Mm-hmm. And so she showed up to Carly's funeral or memorial service in a white stretch limo.
Yeah.
And she didn't attend the first week of trial. And when she did, it was only to deny rumors that she had known Joseph through drug circles.
I think she showed up on, like, the last day of the first week and was, like, denying allegations that she knew him.
And so, I want to say that growing up in this neighborhood, there were rumors, and again, these are rumors.
Yeah.
But basically what I had heard through my friends, my family, my neighbors, everything.
Yeah.
Was that Carly's mother, Susan, she wasn't a great mother to her. Like, I knew that to begin with. She was still involved with drugs. And she preferred Carly's little brother over her. And that Joseph Smith was previously Susan's drug dealer, and she owed him money. And so she wouldn't pay him. So he threatened her family and her children. And when he did this, she responded with, "Just don't touch my son." Like, she had an undying love for her son, and basically couldn't give two fucks about Carly. Like, she was like, do whatever, just don't take my son. And again, these are just rumors, but this is what I grew up hearing and
constantly knowing. Yeah.
Yeah, like, and growing up with Carly, I knew she did not have a great childhood. Mm-hmm. Like, her mother wasn't very fond of her and was into drugs still, and just
she
didn't
spent
really care.
A lot of her time at her friends' houses.
Yes.
Because she didn't want to be home.
Yes, she did spend a lot of time at friends' houses, but she did have to basically fend for herself when she was 10, 11 years old. But back to the
trial.
The facts.
Yeah.
She had 2 film producers at her side during the trial, and briefed the courtroom to talk about the movie project.
Mm-hmm.
And when reporters asked her about Carly, she would respond with, "You'll have to watch the movie." But the movie never fucking happened, by the way.
Yeah, no, because people were so outraged by it that the movie never came to fruition.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, after the trial and everything, her life just kept spiraling downward. Her son, Leif, spelled L-I-E-F.
Leif Leek, like Leif Erickson.
Was taken away from her in August of 2004 after the state determined her chronic drug use made her an unfit mother. So that was just 6 months or so after Carly had been murdered.
Yeah, February.
Her stepfather, Stephen Kanzler, was arrested for domestic violence just weeks later. In 2006, she was arrested for prostitution in St. Pete and was put in jail the day Joseph Smith was sentenced to death.
Which, like, kind of makes sense. She was probably trying to not feel anything. So.
She was arrested again for prostitution in Manatee County. And she told the judge at sentencing that her life had basically just gone downhill since Carly's murder. And she died 2 years ago on April 12th, 2017, at the age of 47. And everything that we were able to research online said that she died of a heroin overdose.
For some reason, I thought she died of cancer. Like, I don't know why.
I mean, she could have had both.
But everything I saw was, like, Polk County said she died of a heroin overdose. So, which...
Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd.
I don't know the sheriff's name of Polk County.
No, he...
Oh, you do, like, municipality stuff, though.
Well, no, he is... everywhere, like everything bad in Florida happens in Polk County.
Yeah,
and their sheriff Grady Judd.
Did you hear that noise?
Yes, I did. It sounded like the cat was dying.
Yeah.
Do you want to go check on your cat?
I'm scared. There's like somebody out there.
You locked the door.
I know. We don't know who's coming in and out when all those loud banging were happening. He basically told me to get rid of the trash. Did you hear him?
Yeah. Do you want me to go check on it?
No, she's right there. It was her. She probably saw something and wanted to go outside and was mad at me.
Hey, you good? You good?
She's so dramatic.
You doing good?
So here is what's currently happening, which is kind of why this case, like, came to our minds again.
Yeah,
but like it's always on our minds. It's just one of those things that you like never really forget.
Definitely. But there, like, there is something urgent happening now with this case that I feel like it's urgent and that people need to know because it's fucking ridiculous.
So a statement from Carly's stepfather Steve Kanzler: when Smith is executed and I get to go up there and watch him, then that'll be my closure. I will feel that she's been set free. Right now, I feel like she is floating around up there and stuck in limbo. But that may not happen now, and Smith may be removed from death row because he is appealing his sentence currently, saying that it is no longer valid, and Sarasota County Circuit Judge Charles Robert granted Smith's motion to vacate his death sentence. So it has been vacated, right?
Yes.
And now the state is trying to resentence him.
Yes.
Okay. So because in March of 2018, Florida's previous governor, Rick Scott, fucking Skeletor piece of shit, sorry, signed a bill saying that Florida's previous death penalty law requiring 10 out of 12 jurors agreeing to the death penalty is unconstitutional, and that the vote needs to be unanimous. Now, hundreds of death row inmates have the option to appeal their sentences, including Smith. So here's the thing. I do not disagree with the law.
Yes.
I don't like that it's being applied to prior things only because of Joseph Smith. Because I inherently hate the death penalty, but because, like, it's, like, that visceral case, like, I feel less bad.
See, I'm not...
I also hate that he uses his daughters as an excuse.
Yes, 100%.
Because they don't care about him.
Yeah, like, you had young daughters and you still did this. But, I, on the other hand, am not totally against the death penalty. I, even though never religious, kind of believed an eye for an eye.
Yeah.
And, like, but only...
Oh, trust me.
Yeah.
I would have everybody get whatever they did done back to them.
Yes.
But it just feels weird that our government's like, yo. But that's just me. But go on.
I was just gonna say, like, but I think that only people who murdered multiple people, like, were serial killers or, like, murdered someone very heinously, like... You know, sexual assault and murder, like raping people or
children
should be put to death. Like, that makes sense to me. And so I believe that he should be put to death.
So there is currently a resentencing trial that is going to happen, and prosecutors are going for the death penalty again because there are several aggravating components to this case, including the fact that Smith is a previous felon who committed the murder while on felony probation. The murder included other crimes such as kidnapping, sexual battery, and child abuse. The murder is especially heinous, and the victim was under the age of 12. So those are kind of what they're basing, like, he should receive the death penalty off of. And a resentencing trial date has not been set yet. They set one, and then it got pushed back, that kind of thing. So that's just, like, still currently happening right now.
Yes, and I think that, like, I think that people should be aware that, in my opinion, this man should be sentenced to death. And that he now has the right to just say, hey, I don't want to be put to death because
yeah,
only 10 people out of 12, only 90% of people said I should be put to death.
Yeah.
Roughly 90. I'm not great at math. Like 87. But this is, I wanted to say something like Carly's legacy, but it really isn't. But a yeah, little bit about Carly's legacy is that obviously
law.
Yes. Well, no.
Oh.
Just, like, in general.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That people, like, A, still remember her, still talk about her, the whole gone but not forgotten thing.
Yeah.
And that she, like, at my elementary school and our middle school, there are, like, butterfly gardens to represent her. She's still, yeah, like, she's still Sarasota's child. This still made national news. You could still say Carly Brescia to anyone and they'd know exactly what you're talking about. But there was something called Carly's Law, which was a bill introduced in the United States Congress in response to the kidnapping of Carly Brescia. And the bill was introduced by Catherine Harris, who was a Florida Republican, with the support of Nick Lampson, who was a Texas Democrat, and Marsha Blackburn, who was a Tennessee Republican.
Texas Democrats, basically a, like, regular Republican, right?
I'm just kidding. A Texas Democrat is an oxymoron, let's be honest.
Sorry.
The amendment to existing law was intended to toughen parole rules for previous sex offenders and also notify non-custodial parents when there is crime activity near their child's home.
Yeah.
And partly for this reason, Joseph Brescia, her father, approved making the law in her name, although he acknowledges that this law would not be applied to her specific case since Smith was on probation for other charges and were not the sexual offenses that the law would target. But the bill failed to pass before the end of the 2004 season. Harris committed to reintroduce the bill in 2005, but no further information is available.
I don't think it ever passed.
Yeah, either. I don't think it passed, but it was something that was done in Carly's mind and would have been done in Carly's favor. Just didn't happen to go through.
Yeah. So, after that, we always like to do our Florida stories, right?
Yeah.
And this
that was rough. That was heavy. It was heavy. I got a little emotional.
I could tell.
But we need a Florida man story.
Yes. And this one isn't an actual, like, crime, really, even. But we're gonna have to include the photo. It's the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen, and it's also Taylor.
Wait. Okay, great.
So, the headline is, Florida man dressed as Spider-Man spotted power washing roof.
Same.
And, like, is this
That's
not
amazing.
Taylor?
Amazing, yes.
Like, so,
I feel like it's gotta be one of those things that, like, kids in a hospital across the way can see me. But in reality, it's just like, I just wanted to dress like Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
all
I just
my
wanted
clothes
to fuck
were dirty.
Around.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, I didn't even want to do a crime. I just wanted to do something silly because that was rough. But that's our hometown.
Yeah, I mean, it took us 10 episodes to get there, but we did it.
Yeah, but we wanted to, like, make it a special episode, but we also didn't want to make it the first episode. Can you imagine our first episode being that heavy?
Oh, hell no. No one would want to listen to us.
But, yeah, we hope that this kind of, like, brought this case to your attention if you had never heard of it.
Yeah.
Because it is a case that made national attention, but I don't know if it's, like, as popular as it once was.
Yeah, because, I mean, it made national attention in 2004. And it's now 2019.
Yeah.
But also a little bit of insight on what kind of fueled our love for true crime.
Yeah. And kind of kick-started us.
Yeah, what made us interested in stuff like this.
And then Casey Anthony really kicked it into some high gear Casey when Anthony I was old enough to understand more. But if you would like to reach out to us and share your story after hearing ours, that would be great. You can reach us at crimebinge@gmail.com. If you want to look at our Instagram where we post pictures from the week, you can see the picture from this great Florida man story.
Yes, please.
You don't know how to use Google, just go on our Instagram. That is Crime Binge Podcast. Fuck Google
right now. Only use our Instagram.
If you want to follow our Twitter, that is just Crime Binge. And we will see you next week.
Yep.
But thanks for listening and
keep on binging.
Keep on binging. Goodbye.
Have a good week. Bye.